When faced with a decision, do you follow fear or faith? Real Life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with Evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from Evelyn Mann with the Miracle Man Ministries. She was actually faced with a decision. Basically, the doctors told her that her baby would have a life-threatening deformity.
Mm-hmm. And in that situation, they didn't want her to have that child. And we're going to find out more about that. And that's a scary situation to be in, to hear this about a child, or if you're given a diagnosis, it's like, what is the automatic response? In most cases, people will turn to fear. But as a believer, are we going to hold on to faith or fear?
Well, you know, fear is a very natural experience and a natural response. Everybody always imagines the worst of how things could be.
Right.
So when they hear something, there's like, oh my gosh, and fear begins to cause a chain of reactions in the body that causes, it's not very healthy for the body, to be truthful, if it's prolonging.
Yeah.
But what is faith? Well, faith is not just believing the opposite and acting crazy and all.
Mm-hmm.
Faith is where you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. When you have a relationship with God and you ask him, hey, is there anything positive that I can't see on the other end of this diagnosis or this, whatever it is, whatever I'm afraid of, is there anything positive that I can't see? Because both fear and faith, you can't really see what's going to happen, but fear is usually in a negative sense. Faith, if God is telling you something good is going to happen, can most likely be in a positive sense.
Mm-hmm. And faith and fear cannot exist together. It's one or the other. And so are we going to ask the Lord, are we going to trust him in those times, or are we going to turn to fear? Let's hear from Evelyn after the break.
Real Life is made possible this week by Four Seasons Nails and our Awakening Colorado monthly giving partners. Like to be pampered? Come to Four Seasons Nails, where customers always leave feeling relaxed and looking good. Located in Denver's historic Highlands neighborhood, Four Seasons Nails is your oasis to escape from stress, offering a wide variety of professional nail and waxing services. Come to Four Seasons Nails at 3481 West 32nd Avenue in Denver, or call them at 303-455-3025.
We are excited to announce our new book, Evidence, that will inspire you with real stories of people who encountered God. In a world where there are so many bad things happening, some wonder, is there a God? If there is a God, why does he allow bad things to happen? These people either didn't believe in God or turned from him and looked for help in everything but God until they had an encounter of their own that changed their lives. Order your copy of Evidence today at www.awakeningthenations.com. Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is Evelyn Mann, and she's going to share with us her miracle story of having a child who has a lethal form of dwarfism and how she and he has beat the odds. So let's welcome to the show, Evelyn. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So tell me about this. You have right now a miracle, and you have a memoir called Miracle in My Living Room, The Story of a Little Man. You were pregnant with your son, and you were told news that would devastate most, but you had a positive outlook. Tell me about that.
We went to the first appointment to find out if we were having a boy or a girl. They said it was a boy, and they said he was growing behind. And at that point, we knew something was wrong, so we went for a high-level sonogram. And at that point, they said my son could have one of three different kinds of diagnoses. Two of them were lethal and one wasn't. But the diagnosis it turned out to be is actually called thanatophoric dysplasia dwarfism. So thanatophoric in Greek means death bringing.
Mm. Wow.
And what were your options at that point to continue with this? Were they afraid that the baby would die in your womb or right after?
Yeah, they thought he wouldn't make it past birth. But what was amazing, you know, when we were given that news that it could be one of three diagnoses, that all of them not compatible with life, we just felt that God just gave us the peace that passes all understanding. Mm. What was amazing is after that appointment, I went to lunch with my husband and I was, what should I tell him? So I told him, I know it sounds crazy, but I have this peace. And he stopped eating and he looked up at me and he said, you know, I do too.
Mm.
So we had that same peace at the same time on the same day. And I talk about that in the book too, because it's really amazing.
Now, you're talking about peace for having the child, or peace that everything would go okay?
Peace that everything would be okay in the midst of unthinkable circumstances, in the midst of not knowing what would happen, faith that it would be okay.
Right.
We couldn't see how Samuel would overcome a lethal form of dwarfism, but we had peace and faith guiding us. God just instilled that in us to go through that circumstance. He gives it to you when you need it.
Yeah, and I know that many people would have abortions. Tell me the statistic on how many actually get this and that how many are alive now.
So it's a type of dwarfism. There are 200 types of dwarfism. The thanatophoric dysplasia is 1 in 20,000 births. So either they're offered abortion, as I was offered what they call the therapeutic abortion. I was told I had to make a decision before it was too late. But at that time, I had seen Samuel on the sonogram, and he was dancing in my belly. I was like, no, we're not going to do that. So for us as a family, it was a no-brainer. We were just going to go forward.
And there's only 12 alive today. Is that right?
Samuel is 1 in 12 survivors. There's 4, I believe there's 4 in the United States, and all the others are outside the country in other countries.
So Samuel, in fact, he's 11 years old, and he has also beat the odds. Tell me about the two miracles in having Samuel.
The first miracle was that he made it past birth, and then he kept on surviving. And I use that word specifically. Month 1, we would celebrate his birthday. Month 2, we'd celebrate his birthday. 18 months later, I'm still celebrating his monthly birthday because it was such an amazing thing.
Wow.
And then what I like to call the second miracle is he needed a trach and a G-tube when he was born. He needed a ventilator. So at 7 years old, the second miracle was he came off the ventilator. I didn't even think it was possible because none of the other survivors are off their ventilators. So that was just a bonus miracle that God just chose to bless us with.
Thank you, Jesus. That's
awesome.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, he can't speak or do any sign language or anything like that, but he does communicate. He blows kisses and he laughs. I saw a picture of him and he's got the biggest smile. Tell me how you feel when you are with your son and what you believe he's communicating to you.
My breath stops. My heart sings. I don't know how else to express it. It's just a beautiful thing. And I know any mother, right, has that with their child. They see that bright smile and it just warms their heart. But what's amazing with Samuel, even though he doesn't say a word, he impacts other people's lives. I've had people say that he looked at them and that made them just rethink their whole life. I've got emails like that from people. It's just amazing.
And he is making an impact and he's 26 inches tall, and he has friends who have the same disease that are fans of his and helping them to carry on in life. Is that right?
Yes. I believe there are up to 5 survivors now in Brazil. That's the country that has the most survivors that I'm aware of. And there's a little boy there named David, and his mother wrote me. She said, when she got to know the history of Samuel, all the feelings of fear and doubt was gone, and in place came faith, belief, and hope. And that is something that Samuel has done without saying a word. He does that for other families. He does that for other people just with a smile that they don't necessarily have the diagnosis, but they're in some unthinkable circumstance. And they look at Samuel and they go, well, if he's doing it, I can.
That's so true. When we say, well, we can't do this, or I can't walk or run or do these things, but we've been given the ability to do it.
Right.
You think twice when you see someone in that situation, but you also see Samuel so joyful and happy and such a good mom that you are. And you can see that he has a great mom and dad. And you guys have also set up a website so that people can write to him, communicate with him, and then you'll read letters to him, which sparks his day up with joy. Tell me a little about that.
Because of Samuel's smile is so bright, we have started a Samuel Smiles campaign on his Facebook page. But also on our website, we have a place. I had a mom call me and she said her son just loved Samuel and wanted to know what he was doing today. So so we decided to start a campaign where kids can write him letters. And when they write the letter, they'll receive Samuel's handprint in return. And then we're going to do a video of us reading the letter to Samuel. And then they can see that. These kids can see that for themselves. And we also have a place on the website where if you buy the book Miracle in My Living Room, we will stamp the handprint of Samuel in the book. And when you see his little hand, it's just this adorable, cute little web-like hand.
And I know that your hand is underneath his hand, but the Lord spoke to you about that. Tell me.
Yeah, you know, it was so funny. After the book came out, I was sharing, there's my hand, there's a picture of what looks like my hand, an imprint of Samuel's hand underneath that it's similar. And I was telling people, oh yeah, you know, that's my hand and there's Samuel's hand underneath. And after a while of saying that, I felt like a little tap on my shoulder going, that's not your hand, that's my hand. And I was like, God was telling me that he is holding my son. It's his hand that's over my son's hand. And he is the one protecting him and guiding him and leading him. And that is so true. It's true for all of us. But I just felt like that was such a sweet thing for the Lord to tell me.
That's beautiful. And I know that your book, the memoir that you have, is one of hope, and it's Miracle in My Living Room, the story of a little man. And it's bringing so much hope to so many with disabilities and people who are in really hard situations. So once again, if you could just tell us how people can get a hold of you, get a hold of the book, maybe even communicate with Samuel, that would be wonderful.
Yeah, absolutely. The website is www.miracleman.com. So that's man with two N's. We have a Facebook group also, www.facebook.com/amiracleman. And you can find us there. You'll see Samuel's Smiles campaign there.
Wonderful. Well, we just thank God for all he's doing in your life. And in Samuel's being 11 years old, just beating all of the odds. And yeah. God has a plan and a purpose for each of us. And that certainly shows it, having this 11-year-old who beat the odds. And thank you for sharing with us this little miracle man. And we look forward to continuing to talk to you in the future and find out how he's doing.
That would be great. I would love that. I just want to just leave with one verse real quick. It's the one that really helped me during that time. It's Isaiah 40:11. And it said, he gently leads those who have young. And that just really touched me during that time. And I hope it touches someone else listening.
Yes, that's a good verse. So if you're struggling and you need hope, just know that the Lord is with you. He'll take care of you and your children. He gently will lead you. Amen. Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Evelyn. God bless you and Samuel, and give them a hug from us.
I will. And God bless you too, both. And thank you so much for this opportunity. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Father God, we just thank you so much for the miracle man, this young boy, Lord God, who made it past the odds, and he's 11 years old right now. But you know, sometimes we look at life and we look through a scope of, why is it this way, or why am I going through this? But when we take a moment to look at maybe what others are going through, instead of looking at it in a negative viewpoint, they're looking at it as a positive viewpoint, celebrating every day and every moment, because not every day and every moment is guaranteed, not to anybody, and not even us. So Father God, we just take a moment to celebrate. We celebrate Samuel. But Father, we celebrate in Samuel's honor. We celebrate our lives. We celebrate the things that you've given us to do, Lord God, and help some of us. There's someone listening right now and they're saying, I always have a negative outlook. I'm always looking at what I can't do. But now is the moment to be born again so that we can see things of what we can do. So Jesus, we want to be born again. Give us that outlook in Jesus' name.
Amen. God bless you all. The Lord is with you in all your struggles. You're listening to Real Life.